Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. The text today is from Paul's first letter to Timothy, the first chapter. My dear friends in Christ, chief of sinners, though I be, Jesus shed his blood for me. That's the whole message of today's text. I was kind of tempted as I was writing this to end the sermon there, but we'll explain it a little bit more. Paul sets up an interesting argument in the text today, especially the latter half here, that in ignorance he acted evilly, but it was through that ignorance that he received mercy. Not really what you would expect. I think if we read this, we're tempted, and we shouldn't be, but we're tempted to think that we've got this idea that everyone who's ignorant of the lordship of Jesus Christ is going to receive the same mercy that Paul did, remember, on the road, right? And because of that, they'll be brought to salvation. And that's not really what Paul means. Really, it's rather this, that ignorance can be turned to the merciful heart of the Lord. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. That is his mission. And I say is, it is his mission, because it still is his mission. That though he lived and died 2,000 years ago, today he lives again and is bringing that mercy and grace won on the cross to those who have otherwise turned away from him. He is the same yesterday and today and forever. And his desire to save sinners has never changed. If he can save one like Paul, and I should say if he can save one like me, then I know that there is no one he can't save. Paul's saying here today, which is worthy of full acceptance, should lead us to be honest with ourselves. Because no one knows us like we do. I mean, I joke, and I'm sure you guys might too. My wife knows me better than I know myself, right? I mean, we say this all the time, but it's not really true. Because I'm the one who knows all of my thoughts, and I'm the one who knows all of my emotions, and I'm the one who knows all of my leanings, and I'm the one who knows all of my desires, and I'm the one who knows all of my sins. I know my guilt. And really, it is by the grace of God, and Paul echoes this, that you know this. By the grace of God, I am illuminated to these things. In another place, Paul says, I would not know what it was to covet if the law did not say, do not covet. And now that I know that coveting is against the law, now I covet all the more, right? We know ourselves in this way. If it were not for the word of God, I don't know that we would really have a good idea of what is right and wrong according to God. It's built into our hearts, kind of this innate moral knowledge, what is right, what is wrong. I mean, every culture knows it's wrong to commit adultery. Every culture knows it's wrong to steal, to take what's not yours. Every culture knows it's wrong to lie. But the law of God is specific, and it convicts us by its word. If we didn't have it, I think we would be ignorant of how evil we actually are. It's one thing to say, yeah, these things are wrong. It's another thing to be convicted of it. Because I could skate along in life thinking that I was fine, right? Well, I steal things on occasion. Yeah, I lie on occasion. But, you know, at least I'm not as bad as that guy. Right? I mean, in reality, the only way that we would have to know that we were evil is by comparing ourselves to the person sitting next to us. But when the word of God comes into your ears, it creates something that no one can escape. And that's guilt. Because all of a sudden, when you hear the word of God, you now have a perfect standard located in two places in the Word. And the first place is, we've already talked about, the law of God, which tells us what is good and what is right and what is holy. But the second place is the person and work of Jesus Christ, who shows us then what a holy life looks like. And wherever we look, either to the law or to Jesus, when we compare ourselves to either one, we should be terrified. Paul heard the word of God enough to know it. In fact, that was kind of a requirement of a Pharisee, is that you've got to know the word very, very well. But in reality, what he was truly facing was the reflection of a perversion of the law through the lens of his peers. It's not that he was convicted by the word of God. He was judging himself based off of the rules of the Pharisees. He faced those rules every day. And interestingly, by the standard of the Pharisees, he was good. He even calls himself in another place a Pharisee of Pharisees. You might actually be tempted. You'd have to do some wordplay, but you can translate it this way, that he was a god among men compared to others. But the problem is, according to the Pharisees, he was good and right and holy, but the Pharisees' standards are not God's standards. The Pharisees were woefully lacking. They thought that they could kind of clarify God's word and add things to it and make sure that they didn't even trespass over the fence of God's law. But they didn't get the heart of the law, that it's actually convicting us all of the time. Because God looks at your heart and not just your outward actions. Because outwardly, Paul was the perfect man chasing after the righteousness of God. But because he rejected the word of God, he met the man Jesus on the road to Damascus. And in that meeting, not looking at the law, but now looking at the man, Paul came face to face with his Lord. And he couldn't escape the truth about who he really was. I mean, for us, Jesus stands before us as the standard of perfection. So how do we add up? Because standing before this righteous judge, this King of ages, the immortal, the invisible, the only God, I would be terrified. Paul's reflecting back on his life, right up until the moment that the light shone down from heaven all around him. Reflecting on this, he reveals to us, because it was revealed to him that he was a blasphemer, worthy of death, because that's what you do to blasphemers. He was revealed as a persecutor of the saints, whose place he was not worthy to supplant. And he was revealed, he says, as an insolent opponent. That basically means he thought he knew better than God. But Paul's wisdom was destroyed before the Lord. Because he was laid off of his horse. He was struck to the ground. He was made to be blind. And in fact, he was even made to be disfigured with scales growing over his eyes. Paul was made to be as ugly on the outside as it was revealed he was on the inside. And he knew it. And he trembled. So should you. And so should I. Because what is it that the standard of perfection reveals to you? Are you a blasphemer? Are you an anarchist, hating your family or the government? Are you an adulterer at heart? Are you a thief? Are you a liar? Are you a schemer? Are you a coveter? Are you a murderer in your heart? Because if you're honest with yourself, hearing the word of God, you will know exactly what it is that God is calling you by his word. You know yourself better than anyone except for God. And you know where you have fallen short. But standing before Jesus as the judge isn't the end. Because if it were, none of us would have any hope. We're all going to stand before the judge one day. And just like an earthly judge, I mean, you're not going to stand before a judge who's been convicted of felonies and crimes. The judge who you stand before when you go to court in this world is going to be a righteous judge, upstanding, upholding the law. And Jesus is the same. This perfect judge, never broken a law, righteous in every single way. You stand before him and you go, how do I add up to this? And some people are going to try. And some people, you, are going to look, you're going to look at the judge. And he's going to look down at you. And he's going to declare you righteous. Innocent. Now again, we've been honest with ourselves, haven't we? We are not righteous. It doesn't mean when Jesus says you are righteous that you really have been righteous. It's that he declares you to be righteous. And when he says something, it happens. And in fact, Jesus has already declared you even now to be righteous. And he's done this in the same way that he did for Paul. Through the waters of baptism, when the scales fell from Paul's eyes, he heard the voice of Jesus calling him holy and blessed and forgiven. And even in the ignorance that Paul displayed, God was working to bring forth his mercy. Paul was ignorant of the word of God. And so God, choosing to use Paul as a specific vessel, appeared to him on the road. And because Paul didn't really know the Word of God in flesh stood before him and showed him mercy. Paul's ignorance led to a conversion story that's still being felt in the world 2,000 years after it happened. Without Paul's ignorance, without the mercy of Jesus, without Paul coming to faith, we would not have the richness of God's word as complete as it is today. After all, think of how many books Paul actually wrote. He composes most of our New Testament, doesn't he? Now, this didn't matter to Paul. Paul didn't care about leaving a legacy of the most prolific theology that the world had ever seen. Paul didn't care about writing things that would last for millennia. Paul didn't care about his own standing. He cared that the Lord had shown him mercy and had forgiven such a sinner as himself. And so it should be for us. We go about our lives. We serve. Perhaps we teach, or we write, or we remember. Perhaps we love, or support, or cherish. But in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Because our Lord has redeemed us from the pit. He has given us strength. He has shown his perfect patience in bringing us to salvation. Chief of sinners though I be indeed. And I can't escape that legacy. As hard as I try to run from my sin, it chases after me like a shadow. But then Christ casts it as far from me as the east is from the west. I am in my heart evil and vile. But the Lord has given all of us new hearts, his heart, the heart of the immortal King, which shall live forever in righteousness and peace. To him be glory and honor forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Amen.